So that's a story of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Homes that our church supports through the cooperative program giving that we give. And one of the children's homes is right across the street over here. And they do an incredible, incredible ministry. And so we wanted to for you guys to understand a little bit more about the ministry of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home and why we do so much with them and why we give to them. If you'll turn with me to the book of Mark, we'll continue in Mark chapter 1, verses, and we'll be considering verses 35 through 39 this morning. I don't know about you guys, as I thought about this text, one of the things that I came to consider was that I am attached to this constantly. Can you guys relate to that? Does everybody here have a cell phone? Yeah? Chances are, is it on your person at this very moment? Probably. Yeah. Maybe some of you are using it as your Bible or you know, some of you may be texting or just get really bored and want to play a game or something like that. You got to have it just in case. What I've figured out is that I am addicted to my phone. I'm addicted to being attached to a calendar or a phone or something of the sort, some type of entertainment. Oftentimes I feel, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like my schedule owns me rather than me dictating my schedule. Have you guys ever felt like that before in your life? That the responsibilities begin to own you rather than you having the chance to have any amount of dictation in that? I think oftentimes, I don't know about you, but often we live powerless lives as Christians. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that as people who are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the very same Holy Spirit that indwelled Jesus and empowered him to do the ministry that he did, why do we as 21st century Christians oftentimes live powerless lives? We live lives with 5% battery, right? We live in low power mode. Most of us, that's all we can ever do because we're attached to everything. But everything is kind of taking, and we are slaves to the moment, captive to the moment. Is this the life that we were meant to live as believers? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. And let's consider that question. Is that the life that we were meant to live in Christ? Look with me, Mark 1, verse 35, excuse me. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Would you pray with me? Father, we often live our lives, unfortunately, in a powerless state. And so as we come to you this morning, God, I am keenly aware of my need for your anointing this morning to preach your word clearly and fully and faithfully. And so I ask, God, that you would bless this moment, that you would bless the time that we have in the word, that you would open our ears and open our eyes to see, that you would open our hearts to understand your word and how you are calling us to live as disciples, how you are calling us to live on the pathway of discipleship as we follow you, or that you desire to empower us. So help us to see this morning as we look at your son's life, God, that you would work in each of our hearts and ultimately make us look more like Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. We're reminded this morning that in this text that Jesus humbly comes before the Father in prayer. He prioritizes prayer. This seems very simple, doesn't it? This isn't a complicated text, but it is an important text. Jesus humbly comes before as the Son of God. He prioritizes time with the Father and reminds others of his mission to preach the gospel. And so as believers, when we look at this text, I think one of the things that we see is that we are called to live under the purposes of Christ, that Christ would have for us, that we are called to live our lives aligned with the purposes of Jesus. We've entitled this message, The Purposeful Savior, because we see that Jesus has been going throughout this first chapter, that he's been going all across Galilee and doing these healings, that he would preach in the synagogues, and then he would go and he would heal both spiritually and physically. Last week we looked at the fact that Jesus is Lord over the spiritual realm, that he is Lord over the physical realm, and that he is Lord over his message. And this morning we see, as we look at Jesus' incredibly busy schedule, we look at what he is purposefully doing in those moments. How are we to live a life of Christ? How are we to align ourselves with the purposes of Christ? Well, we find that in his word. Let's look at what Christ has done. Look at verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Simple enough, but it's incredibly difficult for most of us to get this right, isn't it? Very difficult. The first truth that we see in verse 35 is Jesus purposefully prioritized time with his Father in prayer and fellowship. He purposefully prioritized time with his Father in fellowship and in prayer. Do we have any runners in here? Or people that just work out constantly, like that are constantly on the workout grind? Ray, yeah. That's awesome, man. So my wife, I don't know if you guys know this, Lauren is, and I asked permission to say this, Lauren is a runner. She enjoys running. She did it in track in high school. And one of the things that she's done now is she has run over the course of the past, I guess, 3.5 years. She's run 4 half marathons, which I think is crazy, but I'm super proud of her. That's 13.1 miles. To complete that. And she's done that 4 different times. So I have a lot of respect for her commitment to running. She loves to do it. What she does in those moments is the months leading up to the actual race, she will begin to prepare her body. She will begin to run more frequently, 3 to 4 times a week. And then she will run in progressively greater distances the longer that she does it. But if you guys have had any experience in working out or even running, can you do that every single day? No. If you do that, your body will shut down and it will deteriorate. You have to allow your body time to rest, don't you? You have to. Otherwise, you'll begin to break down and shut down. And so she'll allow 2 to 3 days within that week, anytime that she begins to train, to rest and recover. Otherwise, her body would begin to break down. Jesus had been grinding pretty hard. He had been burning the midnight oil. He had been burning the candle at both ends. If you look back through chapter 1, he stays up extremely late the night before at Peter's house. And he begins, he's doing this healing, physical healing. And then earlier in the day, he had been doing the casting out demons. And he had taught in the synagogues. He had had what we would consider a pretty full day. He had put in a 12 to 15 hour day. What we would tend to do in those kinds of situations, I don't know about you, but I would be like, I cannot wait to sleep in tomorrow. I'm not going to set an alarm. I'm going to make sure it's really cool in my house, and I'm just going to relax. What Jesus does is something very different, though. It says that he rose very early, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, I do that maybe 3 times a year, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He just had this extraordinary day of teaching and of ministering. And then the next morning, he gets up very early. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do the exact same thing. But what the principle is that Jesus prioritizes time in prayer with his Father. He prioritizes it. How does Jesus deal with the busyness of ministry? How does he deal with all the pressures and the responsibilities that were continuing to grow even early in his ministry? He decided, and he does this three different times in the book of Mark, he disconnects early in the morning or late at night, and he goes and prays. Why do we live such powerless lives oftentimes as Christians today? It's because we don't pray. We're relying on our own strength for everything that we do, even things that are supernatural. And so we live such powerless lives because oftentimes we're disconnected from the person that gives us the power. In verse 35, we see that Jesus goes to this desolate place early in the morning. This was a time of renewal for Jesus, a time of preparation for him. So this was both a time of healing for him and readiness, but it was also a time of preparation for what will come. Our time in prayer is not just about what was, it's about what will be. And so we have to begin to change the way that we think about prayer. Resting in the Father was being in communication with the Father. We talk about resting in the Lord and all of those kinds of things. And yes, we are to rest in the Lord, but we're able to do that when we actually communicate with him, when we are in prayer and in fellowship, in communion with the Father. Jesus does this. He models this because he wants us to live our lives on the same basis as he does. If Jesus prayed as the Son of God, prayed to his Father in order to live a godly life full of power, how much more should we be doing that? This is the, I love this verse so much. This is the Son of God in his full humanity prioritizing time with the Father. And he had a perfect relationship with the Father. And he goes to him and he humbly came to him. How much more should we be intentional in spending time with our Father, both in renewal and rest, but also in preparation? Because of what Jesus, and here's the beauty about this, we can't just come to the Lord, right? The message behind this for as believers who are on this side of the cross is that because of what Jesus has done on the cross and in the resurrection, through faith, we are now united with him. And so because of that, 1 John teaches us that we can come before the Father confidently, knowing that he will hear us and that he cares for us. That we can cast our anxieties upon him because he loves us. That we are now his children because we are united in Christ. And so because of that, we have a right relationship with the Father. And we can come to him and we can cast every anxiety, every care that we have, every bit of information that is just too overwhelming for us to deal with. We can commune with him now because of what he has done on the cross. Without the cross, we're still dead in our sins and trespasses, and we're not communicating with the Father because we are enemies of God at that point. Because of what Jesus has done on our behalf, we have the privilege of being able to do what verse 35 says. This is amazing truth in our lives. It's a privilege for us to be able to come to our Father and say, God, I'm exhausted. I don't have a direction. He cares for us and he hears us and he loves us. And this is enabled because of what Jesus has done on the cross and in his resurrection, that he is our high priest, that he is our intercessor. Don't you think, I've used this illustration before, but I think it's applicable in this instance. Don't you think that Meghan Merkel, who's now the Duchess of Sussex, I believe. So she is a princess. She gets to live the cool princess story, right? The cool princess life and all that kind of stuff with Prince Harry. Would she have been able to go to the Queen of England, just go up to her before she was married to Prince Harry? I highly doubt it, right? I doubt she'd have been fitting in on that schedule, right? But because she is united with Prince Harry, who is the prince, she is able to go before the queen. Probably not anytime she wants, but the illustration breaks down there. But the point is that because we are united in Christ as his bride, we can go before God the Father at any point. And he restores us and he renews us and he gives us power through the Holy Spirit. Jesus went early in the morning while it was still dark. He departed. Jesus, in his humanity, is teaching us here what it actually means to be fully human. To be restored again fully is to actually live in communion with our Father. Just like Adam and Eve did before the sin, before the fall, they walked with God, right? This is what it means to actually be fully human, is to go to your Father and pray to a desolate place and walk with God. Jesus has restored us to what it means to actually be fully human. And that means that we can go before the Father at any time and he cares for us and he hears us and he loves us. Amen? That's such a rich truth, and it shapes the way we view God and how he loves us and cares for us. It's for us to be his people and him to be our God. It's for us to declare his glory as we are in right relationship with him that is restored by Jesus. Therefore, we understand from this text that prayer is a great privilege and a necessity of our spiritual lives. It's a great privilege in our life, but it's also a great necessity in our life. We must pray daily. This is a great quote that I found. It's named from Dr. Curtis Hudson. He says, "There is more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray." We live such powerless lives because we never come before our Father. Or if we do, it's like a spiritual power nap. We're like in and out, like it's like a, you know, you're going through a drive-thru or something. And so we're called to live our lives in communion with the Father. Some of you guys are carrying around stress. You barely made it here this morning. I'm glad you made it. Some of you guys are carrying around a pending decision or some anxiety in your life. Some of you are bringing burdens into this room. You're bringing a busyness. You're bringing an attachment to the moment or an attachment to your schedule. The weight of your own sin and mistakes may be upon you this morning. I remember in high school, I don't know if you guys remember this, and even in college, that as the day went on, my backpack filled with 50 pounds of books grew increasingly heavy as the day went along, and my neck began to hurt and my back began to hurt. There's no telling how many problems high school and college has caused people and how much money that's made chiropractors over the years, right? Some of you are carrying a backpack full of weight and anxiety and stress and burdens, and the Father is waiting for you to come to him. That you're carrying all by yourself in your own power, and that was never meant to be this way. To be fully human is to come in relationship with the Father and cast your anxieties and your burdens upon him. Beloved, he loves you. And he wants to hear from you. He wants a relationship with you. Run to the Lord in prayer. Some of you guys are burning the candle at both ends, just like Jesus was. But there will be no power in our lives when there is no prayer. There will be no victory. Some of you guys are struggling and battling with sin, and you can't seem to break it. Listen, there's not going to be victory in your life over sin unless you're praying about it. There will not be love in our life for us to be able to care for the least of these, to be able to care for those extra grace requires of us unless we are in prayer. There will be no love for our neighbor. There will be no focus on our mission unless there is prayer. There will be no focus on the purposes of God where there is no prayer. There is no wisdom when we are distant from God. We live powerless lives because we are living prayerless lives. Some of us are crawling instead of walking upright with God because we're not in prayer and communion with Him. We're running on low power mode. We're running on 7% battery life because you've got a long day at the job, and then you come and you have to love your kids, and like all of these things, all of these good gifts and stressors in our life. But they are stressors, right? If we're honest, they're great things, but sometimes they can be stressful. Long days at job, spending time with your spouse, running around to different events with your kids, scrolling through social media. Maybe that's not a gift, but it is a stressor. Doing ministry, trying to catch up or get ahead on homework. All of these are different stressors in our lives. And if we do this in our own power, we will constantly be captive to the moment. Jesus is saying, lift up your head to the Father who cares for you, who loves you, who desperately desires to commune with you. That's the beauty of what the gospel has done in our lives. And that's what we see, that the privilege of we get to do the same thing that Jesus does. We as believers are often connected in every way possible except the way that provides us the power and strength to live a holy and godly life. And so here in the silence and solitude, our Savior Jesus finds strength in prayer and fellowship with the Father, the same good, loving, holy Father that you and I now have access to because of Christ. So run to Him. Cast your affections upon Him. He loves you and cares for you. Cast your affections upon Him. Praise Him for who He is in your prayers. Confess your sin to Him. Run to Him when you've sinned. And you don't have to carry that burden anymore. Jesus has paid for that. Run to Him. Cry out with your requests and your petitions for yourself. Pray that God would move in other people's hearts that you're trying and just hitting the door every time. You're hitting a wall with them. Pray that God would move in their lives. Pray for people to know Jesus, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted, for our people's marriages, that they would be strengthened. Prayer reminds us of His strength and mercy, and prayer reminds us of our weakness. Prayer reminds us of who we are and reminds us of who God is. These are all the things that prayer does. And then consider what is the best time for you to spend in prayer. Jesus did it early in the morning, and that may be great. Sometimes that would be great for me, but if I'm honest, that's not always going to be the best time for me. I'm going to be groggy and maybe fall asleep at the wheel. Maybe during the day or in the evening, but pray. This is how we receive our power. And then chronicle what you've been praying for and see how God answers that. See how the Lord is working. And in this, what God does is God conforms us into the image. E. Stanley Jones had this really cool analogy. He said that prayer is a time exposure to God, which is an old school, like, photographic term. He used the analogy of life being like this photographic plate that when exposed to God, it progressively bore the image of Him. And so when we pray, God conforms us into His image. He conforms our will into His will. He conforms our life into the way Jesus lived. This time with the Lord refreshes our spirit and it refocuses on mission and removes our eyes from ourselves and lifts it to Him, our good, sovereign, and holy Father. And it is out of that relationship, it's out of that communion that verses 36 through 39 happen. Not just in Jesus' life, but in our own life. Read with me. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Beloved, it is out of a right relationship with God that we rightly relate and care for others and the mission of God. It is out of our right relationship with him that we then rightly relate to others in his mission. So the second purpose that we see Jesus living out is Jesus purposefully prioritized the central focus of his earthly mission, which was to bring the good news. It's to bring the good news. And so we see in verse 36, Simon comes to him and interrupts him to this desolate place. Somehow he found a Jesus, right? Have you guys ever been interrupted before in a place that you never thought someone would find you? I mean, there was a time that I was literally in Toronto, Canada, that I saw people from UTC, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Right? Like, sometimes we can't run far enough, right? So Jesus was interrupted in his prayer, just like sometimes we're interrupted in our lives. Jesus had some serious paparazzi going on. And so they found him, and it probably Peter said to him, everyone is looking for you, and almost this weird, mild rebuke. Like, Jesus, what are you doing, man? Everybody's looking for you. We've got people lined up. We've got them, you know, in rows and healing rows and stuff like that. They're waiting on you to come and heal them and take care of everybody. And what are you doing, man? How often is that the case in our own hearts? Jesus prioritized his central focus, and it comes from his time with the Lord, his time with the Father. It gave him a focus. So Peter sends this search team. Things are really beginning to happen. I mean, think about this. In Galilee, like, people were coming to hear the good news in the synagogues. People were being healed and cast. The demons were being cast out. People were being healed physically. All these incredible things. And Jesus is out praying. Peter's like, Jesus, this is the time that we got to capitalize on this. Let's think about it from a marketing perspective. Things are really starting to click. We got to capitalize on this moment because we can build a mega church right now. Like, all people from Galilee are wanting to come and be healed and all this kind of stuff. Jesus, we got to strike while the iron's hot. And what does he do? Jesus says something very interesting. He says, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Peter's like, there's no time for this kind of stuff, Jesus. We see very, very early on that the disciples still had no clue why Jesus was here. And sometimes in our own lives, we forget that Jesus doesn't wrap around our agenda, but that we submit to his. So early in his Galilean ministry, people were flocking to him. And it was becoming quickly less about the gospel, the good news that he was bringing, and more about what Jesus could do for them in their healing. So rather, Jesus says, I will go on to the next towns so that I may preach the gospel there, because this is the reason that I have come. That I have come as the good news to preach the good news about myself. What we find here is that it's in successful and really great times that we often forget our need for God and what the mission of God truly is. It's not about us. It's not about building this grand cathedral, this grand church. No, 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 no. It's about Jesus. It's about the good news of the gospel going forth. Everything that we do as a church, and this is where the rubber meets the road. More than anything else, people need the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus went and he came in order to reconcile people back to God. That was his purpose for coming. Everything, every kind of spiritual need that was met, every kind of physical need that was met, was wrapped around this central purpose of reconciling people back to God through himself. That he was the good news. And so we as a church, everything that we do, we have to refocus with our time with God and our own lives and as a church that we are here to preach the good news of Jesus. So we are to minister in his power and in his purpose. We as the church minister to people's physical needs and commit ourselves to social justice and other spiritual needs as Jesus did, to love our neighbors as ourselves. But this is in step with one another. This is like a two-legged race, right? One thing, it's got to be in the same motion. This is how Jesus lived his life, and this is how he did his ministry, in step with one another. That he would give people bread, but then he would say, I am the bread of life, that you will no longer hunger. He gives them water, but then said, I am the one that in which you will never thirst again. He says to the people who are oppressed, we speak for them because as we point to our Savior who is establishing this beautiful kingdom where there is no more oppression, where there is no more darkness, that Jesus will fully consummate a kingdom in which we are no longer slaves to anything but him. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture of what Jesus is doing in our lives and wants to do in our church. So empowered, refocused, and refreshed through his time of prayer, Jesus focused on his ministry to preach the good news about himself. Is this a good news that you're familiar with? Is this a good news that you're familiar with? Is the good news still good news in your life? If not, we need to spend some time with the Father in prayer. Allow him to conform us. Allow him to shape us, to mold us. The good news is still good news, that we were dead in our sins and transgressions, that we were bent beyond measure, that we were broken beyond measure, that we were defiled beyond all measure, that there is a great answer to our shame and our guilt, and his name is Jesus because of what he has done on our behalf, and now he has restored us and restoring us fully. And there will come a time when we are fully restored in his kingdom. Amen. That is the hope of the gospel. That's why it's good news. Jesus loves you. The Father loves you and has pursued you. And so because of that, run to him with your cares and with your burdens and be refilled. Be powered up again. Connect the phone to the charger every once in a while, right? That's what God is calling us to do. The good news is Jesus has come, and he has died on our behalf, and he was raised again, and he's coming back. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, that you love us and that you care for us. God, we so often live lives that are powerless, and that's not the way you intended us to live our lives. God, we're often powerless because we're not in communion with you. Help us to prioritize above all other things time with you in prayer and time with you in your word. God, as we communicate with you and as you communicate to us through your word, God, lead us and guide us. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to live the life that you have called us to live, to experience what it means to be fully human. Thank you for the model of Jesus as he refocuses his mission and that he prioritizes time with you. God, help us to do the same, but knowing that none of this would be possible without the good news of Christ, that you have come down to save us, that through repentance and faith, God, that you reconcile us to yourself, that you forgive us of our sins, that you justify us, that there is no more shame, there is no more guilt, that our defilement is wiped clean, that our dishonor is wiped clean, and that we are considered righteous and honorable because of what Christ has done and that we are in him. So we praise you. God, in our time of response, would you lead us? Would you call us to yourself into relationship with you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.